Will's first thoughts. Still,
yeah, go for it.
Still don't like it.
Okay. Nothing's changed. Episode over.
Welcome to Monsters and Monster Class. I'm Eliotti.
I'm Jared Warnickel.
And I'm Will Melton.
And on this episode, we are taking a look at the Cleric Monk multi-class from Dungeons & Dragons. This is a part of our Redux series. We did this back originally in 2019, and we're taking a look again. The biggest thing that sparked it is because we have a player at our table who is doing this. And I'm, for one, I'm skeptical because we were not a big fan of it back then. And so it was kind of like, oh, what are we going to, which multi-class are we going to do? I was like, oh, well, let's talk about this and see if he's making a silly choice. Maybe it's gotten better. That was my motivation for doing this. And I think you guys just kind of said yes, because it's not worth thinking about too much.
I am a little bit more confident, at least with his specific build, but we will get there. So this first time that we recorded it was pre-Tasha's. So since then, we've had the Twilight Cleric, Peace Cleric, Way of Mercy, and Astral Self released. I don't think there's been any other ones. Oh, you know what? There was the Dragon Monk, wasn't there?
Oh, the Ascended Dragon, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't look at that at all. And you know what? I doubt that's going to change much anyways.
Yeah, anyway.
That's okay. So yeah. To cover the basics, the cleric is a pious full spellcaster that can hold its own in martial combat. They take 13 wisdom to multiclass in and out of. And monks are the kung fu fantasy thought up by people who have never once thrown a punch in their entire life. Melee is mainly their game with an outlier or two in subclasses. It takes 13 dex and 13 wisdom to multiclass in and out of. And yes, I'm here for blood, Wizards of the Coast.
That's funny. Do you ever throw a punch?
I have thrown punches, yes.
Oh, okay.
Not been in fights, Ellie? Come on.
No, never been in fight.
So let's go ahead and get some first thoughts.
I
Will.
Can't picture you in a fight. That's weird. You're pretty calm guy.
Next D&D session, I'm just going to wail on him so we can all see it. We're going to film it for the channel.
Content. It's all content.
Will's first thoughts. Still,
yeah, go for it.
Still don't like it.
Okay. Nothing's changed. Episode over.
There's a lot of... Monk's always hard to go into. When you do this, you throw any like heavy armor dreams you have with cleric out the window. So immediate limitations. That hasn't changed. New things...
And shields.
And, you know, tons of other... weapony things. The newest things are the broken domains, if I'm not mistaken. Did we do those? And they're so broken that you're dumb not taking more levels in them. So
that's somewhat true. I will say the first couple levels are where that strength comes from in Twilight Cleric and Peace Cleric. So they're is something to say about a small dip into cleric for that. I think if we try to look at this from the perspective of, is this a multi-class that is, you know, better than the sum of its parts, I think we're going to come up with no. It is not. And that, I think, is pretty straight up. Because the cleric is just better. The cleric is, in my opinion, is the best class in the entire game. It always feels strong. It always feels like it has options. It can fit just about whatever you want. If you want to throw some attacks, you throw some attacks. If you want to sling some spells, you've got some of the best spells in the entire game. If you want to be a support character, you can support your party really well with the spells. Obviously, you can be the healer as well. So like coming at this from the angle of like, oh, is taking monk going to benefit your cleric? No, taking cleric is going to benefit your cleric. And that is literally it every single time.
Yes, I was coming from my initial kind of stuff I was saying was more making fun of our friend Logan, who's doing this.
Who's probably
now that we know
actually time.
Listens, so you're gonna get made fun of more probably. I am definitely more optimistic about it this time around than when we originally did it, even if just for the idea of the added versatility and support options. I used to be really down on that, like, oh, these don't like synergize and like make each other better. Then no, it's not worth it. And it's like, I've kind of really come around on that. Like, it is okay to do two multi-classes where it just gives you versatility. It gives you more options. You can still just play as a monk, but now you have the option to heal or buff or do some out of combat support stuff when needed.
Yeah.
If you're okay with slowing down some of your monk stuff. And I'm more okay with that. Also, just going through, I did pick up on a couple things, a couple features here and there, especially new ones that do work well with a monk because they benefit from high speeds or a lot of attacks. So we can get into all that.
And something just to keep in mind is that if you are going from the monk into cleric, usually, as Will said, it's hard to multiclass with a monk, but at least this time wisdom is already a part of your kit, so you're not holding yourself back there. Your armor class can still stay up, whereas when you multiclass into a ranger, you have to now balance strength and compared to when you multiclass into a paladin as a monk, now you have to deal with strength and charisma, and it's like, okay, this
and dex and wisdom.
right. So like it's near impossible to really make that work without sacrificing some of the core things that make you possible to be a monk. So I think that you're actually going to get some benefits going from monk into cleric. Part of that is just because, again, cleric is so darn good. But the fact that monks aren't using concentration in any way is something that's just open up. You know, they can cast one spell, get benefit from it for nearly the entire fight as long as they can maintain concentration on it, which they're probably pretty good at because monks do thrive at being skirmishers, getting in and out of the fray, not taking those big hits, and holding on to the spells that might be helping everybody else. So I think there's a playstyle there that is not normally added to the monk, which is going to be that kind of buffing the party aspect.
Yeah, absolutely.
Though you'll obviously want to avoid bonus action spells because monks use their bonus actions on everything.
Which is a tragedy because spiritual weapon is the staple for your bonus actions. But, and this is a pending change, spiritual weapon in 1D&D is concentration, adding a less default nature to it.
Right. Also, it feels less necessary if you're multi-class with a monk. It's like a staple for the cleric because they just get one attack anyways, or they can cast like a spell. And so they have spiritual weapon up to kind of boost that damage, where the monk could just do it anyways. And so it almost kind of seems like to free up their spell slots for something else. They're their own spiritual weapon. Like at fifth, they get a second attack anyways, and then very easily are able to make an extra bonus action attack.
That does more damage, I guess. It depends, because the spiritual weapon does 1d8. Monks don't really get 1d8 for their bonus action attack until 11th level, but they have the opportunity for a flurry of blows very frequently, so that obviously adds a pretty good portion. Usually it's going to end up being 2d6 if both hit, plus their dexterity modifier to fire twice, so it's overall probably better than spiritual weapon, minus the fact that it's not ranged, unless you're Sun Soul. So in terms of the subclass stuff, to kind of jump ahead, because you mentioned something, Ellie, that I wanted to talk about, the speed aspect synergizing well. The Peace Cleric gets a neat little thing where speed is going to be extremely helpful, and that is their
Balm of Peace.
Thank you. Yep. Yes, yeah, I was waiting for you to finish my sentence, not looking at the name. Yeah, Balm of Peace. So that's their Channel Divinity ability, where as an action, they can move up to their speed without provoking opportunity attacks. And when they move within 5 feet of any other creature during this action, they can restore a number of HP to that creature equal to 2d6 plus their wisdom modifier. And a creature can only receive this healing once whenever you take this action. It's a really cool combination that's now opened up. Obviously, the peace domain's just good because of that, but usually you're limited to, you know, 30 feet of movement or so. With the monks, that limit is much more fuzzy, as you can obviously bonus action to sprint. Your base speed does increase just from your class levels, so you might have up to 80 feet, making it really easy to get around the entire battlefield and heal up everyone who might need it.
Mm-hmm. One weird thing I would say, so it says you can move up to your speed without provoking an opportunity attack, and when you move within 5 feet. So if you like bonus action dash, I don't think that would work with this.
Why is that? That's still
double. Because that's not your speed is like what's written on the character sheet, you know, 40 feet, 50 feet, whatever it is for the monk. If you bonus action dash, like dash allows you to move your speed again. It doesn't increase your speed. Something like feline agility doubles your speed for the turn.
You're right.
Dash allows you to move your speed a second time.
Okay, that's a good point. Okay, so it still does have synergies from the perspective of if you dash as your bonus action, maybe get into a better position for this, and then you can do that, and you still have the 35, 40 feet of movement, so it is increased. But that's an interesting interaction you have to be careful about.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how I'd want to rule it. And like, it's really ambiguous how it's written. As an action, comma, you can move up to your speed, comma, without provoking an opportunity attacks, comma, and when you move within 5 feet of any creature during this action, comma, you can restore a number of hit points that creature equal to, yeah, blah, blah, blah. So yeah. I think that is saying as that action moving up to your speed once. So it's
no, nothing. I think you're having the correct interpretation, since this is all within the context of this action. You're taking the action Balm of Peace. What does Balm of Peace do? It lets you move up to your speed. Dashing is separate, so I'm with you. Disappointingly, but I'm with you.
Yeah. Another way where speed could come into play, they get clerics now with Entashes with additional cleric spells get various auras.
Oh,
which
right.
is just useful for, I mean, they're usually like most of them like 30 feet, and you know, they have varying degrees of usefulness depending on the situation, but definitely having a really maneuverable monk who has the ability to like run up walls and climb speed and dash and disengage and stuff as bonus actions to kind of position themselves where that aura needs to be to get somebody in it is useful.
Yeah, and so I think in general that just goes to say that this is one benefit of, I don't know about taking some monk levels, but at least of having some monk levels with cleric, is that positioning is important, and clerics generally don't have great speed. I don't know why I'm just imagining them all as like dwarven clerics, so that they only have 25. That's not true, obviously.
Right.
But I do feel like speed and positioning are important for spellcasters. Getting anything for that is going to be a benefit.
Right. And then even pre-existing spells that we probably missed, I think, last time when we recorded this, like just healing, various healing spells getting within range. Same with buff spells. And then stuff like, not spiritual weapon, the other one. The AoE that's guardians? Around you. It's another aura, basically.
Guardians? Spiritual guardians?
Spirit guardians?
Yeah, that. Another good one to have on a really maneuverable character.
Yeah, something to just in general be careful about with this one, going back to some of the base class stuff outside of the movement abilities, is I think this is going to be a really tough one to justify an even split with. This is a multi-class that is going to work best with a small dip, likely from monk into cleric. I really just don't think cleric into monk is going to get you enough benefit unless you built your character out for that in the first place. If that was your intent going into it, then it probably is fine getting some of that mix. But I think what we're going to see is if you're monk going into cleric and then you just keep taking cleric levels, you're probably just going to start casting spells all the time. And now you're going to be a mediocre monk and a mediocre cleric instead of actually linking the two, which is where you're a pretty good monk who also can cast spells.
Yeah, I agree with that. Quick dip. Maybe up to third. So you get second level spells.
That's
because there's some good ones there.
And if you're super high level, maybe even up to fifth to get some third level spells. But, you know, that's you're talking like a 9 monk, 5 cleric split, something like that, I could see. But, you know, holding back your martial arts die from going up is pretty rough. And monks do get some pretty good stuff in the later levels. Diamond Soul being the one that comes to mind, where they can spend a key to re-roll a saving throw, as well as having proficiency in all saving throws, is really, really strong and honestly makes the monks feel it's a pretty big power jump for them. So I'd have a hard time justifying not getting that if I was going high level.
Yeah. A good high level thing to chase in. Cleric, that was a third level spell, which they get I guess it's not high level, but you have to go to fifth for cleric, mm-hmm. which can be a lot to ask for a multi-class spirit shroud. This is a new one, Natasha's.
Ooh, what's that?
It's a bonus action to cast. Duration is 1 minute, and it's concentration until the spell ends. Any attack you deal makes 1d8 extra damage when you hit a creature within 10 feet of you. It's radiant, necrotic, or cold. It's your choice when you cast a spell. Any creature that takes this damage can't regain hit points until the start of your next turn. In addition, any creature of your choice that could see that starts its turn within 10 feet of you has its speed reduced by 10 feet until the start of your next turn. That's awesome on a monk. It's just kind of, you have to get to 5 cleric, so it's just a little late.
But it's actually worth it at high levels.
Yeah, it definitely is. Because, yeah, every attack, so if you do... You flurry of blows and get 4 attacks. That's 4d8 extra damage. Plus the additional stuff. You can't regain hit points and speed reduced. Yeah, usually it's all. Cleric, Paladin, Warlock, and Wizard that have it. And for most of them, it's not super worth it. Well, maybe a Bladesinger or a Hexblade.
And that can't be cast on somebody else, can it? That has to be cast on self?
Correct, itself.
Yeah, I like that a lot. That's actually a really, really good interaction.
Yeah, and then a low-level version of that that we did just completely mess when we first recorded this is in War Domain, they get Divine Favor, which is a first-level spell. It's typically just Paladins, but now the War Domain Cleric gets it. Another bonus action cast, first-level concentration for 1 minute, and until the spell ends, your weapons attacks deal an extra 1d4 radiant damage on hit. So, similar spell, it's 2 levels less, so you get it kind of right away, which is really nice, but it's 1d4 instead of 1d8. So it kind of like upgrades itself if you stick to cleric.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely worthwhile. The downside is you have to go War Domain. And that's usually not super worth it. Their whole thing is when you use the attack action, you can make 1 weapon attack as a bonus action. And you can use that up to your wisdom modifier. So at first level, you're really like, that's not great. No, if you're going monk, seeing as you can already do that for free every time. This does make it a weapon attack, so if you're using quarter staff, that's a d8 of damage a couple of times instead of a instead of the d4 or d6 until you get high up there, so that it could be worse, but it's definitely not the greatest cleric ability.
No. Then you get bonus proficiencies of martial weapons and heavy armor is the other big thing first.
That actually is important to bring up. So because of Tasha's, proficiency with martial weapons is now more worthwhile because there was the optional class feature dedicated weapon. So that's you train yourself to a use of a variety of weapons as monk weapons, not just simple melee weapons and short swords. Whenever you finish a short or long rest, you can touch one weapon, focus your ki, count that weapon as your monk weapon. But the criteria are the weapon must be a simple or martial weapon and you must be proficient with it. So this doesn't give you proficiency in that. Taking that level of cleric, getting proficiency in martial weapons now opens up the weapons that you can use to really anything. And that is a pretty big benefit. Obviously, last caveat is must lack the heavy and special properties. So nets do not classify.
They should have said except nets. Make them at least somewhat viable.
Yeah. Except for nets, if you want to be a monk or a netting monk, that's fine. We can let that slide.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's pretty big though, because that was a reason why it didn't work before cleric monk. But I don't know. I think that adds a lot of benefit. You're not just locked to that singular, D8 quarter staff every single time. You can switch it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And if you happen to go high enough where you're 8 in the cleric, you also now get to add the a lot of subclasses did it, where you can add the d8 into one attack. And now even if you pick a subclass where it tries to add it to your cantrips, which would probably not be great for a monk, because at that point you're just using your whole action and lose all your martial arts stuff, and why are you a monk? Just be a cleric. With optional rules, any of the subclasses, no matter what you pick, can add it onto an attack. So, that's nice. And then it would stack with kind of any other bonuses like that going on, because it's just an automatic thing that happens. The extra D8. So, if you do cast, then that Spirit Shrouds. The first attack does an extra 2D8, which is nice. Or the Divine Favor for more domain. You get your normal attack plus 1D8 plus 1D4.
It actually makes me wonder if a more even split, we'll say 8 cleric, 5 monk, if you're doing War Domain, would actually work out fine if you focus decks in the first place. You know, if you obviously were like a strength cleric and then wanted to switch it up midway, that's not going to work. But if you had the high decks, you could ignore the high armor or the heavy armor, and that might actually work out okay, where most of the time you're casting spells, but if you want to, you know, beef up and cast Divine Favor, or at when you get your, what was the level of the Spirit Shroud one?
Fifth. It's a fifth. Third level okay. spell.
Great. So, you know, you have access to that later on as well. I could actually see that working out okay, being only up to fifth level in Monk where you get your extra attack.
Yeah. Yeah, you were saying, I know initially you were saying you'll probably always be Monk dipping in the Cleric, but if you want to introduce that additional playstyle, I don't see it as necessarily being awful to be a Cleric and then take some Monk levels because you want to get into Melee and be more martial focused for whatever reason, just cool character concept or some big defining moment, or because you have a plan from the beginning just to change, just for the sake of changing things up.
As long as you have decks. Yeah. I just don't see it working if you're like an 18 strength cleric and like 12 decks and you're like, yeah, well, I guess 13 decks.
It could work. Maybe I'm forgetting something, but in martial arts, it's like you can use decks instead of strength. And I don't think anywhere else, I don't think it's like the barbarian where it says, you know, as long as you're using strength, you get your rage damage and advantage of blah, blah, blah.
That's not the issue. The issue is that martial arts, you need to not be wearing armor or a shield.
Right. So, and then their unarmored defense is?
Is because of dex, yes. So unless your DM wanted to be cool and say, all right, you want to take strength, then we're just going to allow you to do strength for everything. Which, honestly, in like a one-off scenario, I'd probably allow. It'd be really complicated in terms of D&D Beyond and fighting that. But that's not important. I think that would be pretty viable.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if you get dex to 14, so that's plus 2, wisdom at 18, so that's plus 4, so it gives you 16 AC. And then strength at, you know, whatever it needs to be at.
16,
like you don't need to worry about intelligence, yeah. Charisma. Obviously, you don't want to dump con, but it doesn't need to be like crazy high.
If I were doing it from the start, I'd choose dex. But I think you're right. If it's really what you want to do because it fits your character concept, then you might be able to make it work. You're just going to be
that,
a little bit less.
Dedicated weapon, optional thing. It's, it doesn't need to be finesse or anything. You could use strength.
Mm-hmm. Something to keep in mind. And then say you then get your blessed strikes. You'd get your spells that let you add D4s and D8s and D20s to your damage. And
just be good backup support. It's always nice to have an extra healing word on the battlefield. Or if you get the cleric high, I feel like if you're high enough, if you get to fifth level, you'd revivify.
That's helpful, I hear.
Right?
good for a party to have that.
Uh-huh. We're dealing with that right now. Our last session ended with Will's character, actually. Again, dying. And no one in the party has any resurrection spells.
Grignir.
But we're in a town, so we might be able to make it work. But
so in terms of some of the newer monk subclasses, we have the Way of the Astral Self that needs to be talked about. Because this is the one that allows you to ignore dex entirely and actually focus on wisdom. So
right.
You can basically just throw decks out, except for your armor class. So we'll, I guess, get to that in a second. But the Arms of Astral Self is the third level ability. It's a little bit long, but worth reading most of it. As a bonus action, you can spend one key point to summon the Arms of your Astral Self. When you do so, each creature of your choice within 10 feet of you must succeed on a dex saving throw or take force damage equal to 2 rolls of your martial arts dice. And then for 10 minutes, you determine the arm's appearance. It's fine, they last for 10 minutes. While they're present, you gain the following benefits. You can use wisdom modifier in place of your strength modifier when making strength checks and strength saving throws. So that does mean things like grappling are now on the table when monks usually suck at grappling, which makes no sense. And then you can use the spectral arms to make unarmed attacks or unarmed strikes. So once again, you can use your wisdom in place of wait, that's his, yeah, okay, that comes in a second. You just jump it out. I'll jump to that. So the unarmed strikes you make with the arms can use your wisdom modifier in place of your strength or dex modifier for the attack and damage rolls, and their damage type is force. And when you make an unarmed strike with the arms on your turn, your reach for that is 5 feet greater than normal. So since you can use this ability lets you use your wisdom modifier in place of strength or dex, could you still wear armor, forego some of the other things
I don't martial think arts so. Gives I think you. Almost every monk thing starts with as long as you aren't wearing armor.
So you can roll a d4 in place of the normal damage. So the martial arts.
So yeah, your unarmed attacks will be 1+ strength or 1+wisdom. So you want to get your martial arts die. You couldn't make the bonus unarmed attack.
Yep. Those are the big things that would be killed off.
Don't think you could flurry of blows. That's all under martial arts. That's under key.
Yeah, that's under key, which key you can still do even if you're wearing armor or something. Okay, that's fine. Just you can't wear armor as a monk. That's it. I don't know why I'm trying to get around this now. It's been years. The other thing I didn't mention is that the unarmed strike with the arms, the reach is 5 feet greater than normal. So that's also cool. And again, just being able to focus more on wisdom, maybe a little bit less on dexterity. You know, you keep your dexterity at 14, 16 or so, and you don't have to worry about getting it up higher because most of your strikes are going to be wisdom focused, means that your spell casting or spell save DC is going to keep going up, and your armor still goes up and your unarmed strike damage still goes up as you're making attacks. So I think a lot of benefits there. It's also really cool flavor wise. I feel like you have this like your astral self can combine really well with that religious aspect where you're maybe it's just part of your religion that, you know, that's your real self and your body is just a temporary piece of you. In my world, say it's very elemental gods focused, which I think every world has some form of elemental connection. So nothing too special there, but you know, just like, oh, in life, you know, we're this body, but in the afterlife we're water or we're air. And it like, you can just combine that into your astral self visage. And I think it would be really cool. Or it could just be your God. It's like just a form of your God just comes over you.
Right. Ooh, I like that a lot. Yeah. In terms of other new subclasses, Wave Mercy, flavor-wise, fits super well because they do healing. And, I mean, I very could easily see like, the art of the Wave Mercy is kind of like this, like, plague doctor. and could very easily see a character like that who goes around helping people and healing and trying to cure people, but also has the ability to dispatch and kill and harm those who pose a threat to others. Also having a religious aspect to them and being a cleric as well, especially a grave domain cleric, which is kind of the same flavor, obviously manifests differently, but that kind of focuses on both healing and saving others while also dispatching threats.
Yeah, I could also see flavor-wise the Way of Mercy playing off as like a slight rejection of your god. I know I've mentioned this before with other cleric multiclasses, so I won't dwell for too long, but like if your cleric is questioning their faith or maybe it's failed them, this could be an interesting way to take matters into their own fists, so to speak. So it's like, oh well, you know, my god's power, maybe it's not strong enough, maybe I need to focus on what I can do and what I can accomplish without them. And the Way of Mercy really can play into that.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing in I guess flavor wise jumping back to the peace cleric, a way to play off that is if you are a monk and the monk maybe starts off as overly violent of sorts, self-centered maybe. One thing I try to remind everyone is that the monk's flavor in D&D is less about asceticism and more about like this personal perfection. And as we've seen in our current campaign, that can make your monk a massive dick. So maybe they go peace cleric as a good way to show them growing into the ideals of what's expected to be a monk, somebody who upholds honor, somebody who chooses peace first and violence as a last resort. Now, I know that Will always gets down on the idea of peace clerics just because it doesn't make sense. Like you're still fighting. But, you know, flavor is there at least.
I like the meta flavor of coming to your DM. It's like, yeah, I'm dipping peace cleric. It's like the DM's like, what? No, I'm growing as a person. Trust me.
It's just growth. That's it. We haven't talked about Twilight Cleric or Twilight Domain yet. Who wants to say it?
It's not like made better by the monk. It just still is what it is.
Yeah. It's just good. It would fit well with Sun Soul, maybe treating as like a balance of light and dark, kind of fitting for a monk, cool. the yin and yang aspect of it.
That's actually not a horrible way to deal with somebody who wants to play a Twilight Cleric. It's like, all right, but you have to take, you know, 8 levels of Sun Soul.
Sun Soul.
You got to finish your vegetables before dessert.
Honestly, I was thinking about it like that, though, where it's like, as a DM, I'd be so much less mad if somebody took Twilight Domain if they were a monk first. I'd be like, oh, okay, well, it's not going to get too out of hand, at least. Yeah. Because it does say for the Twilight Cleric that they have to... So the thing that we're talking about is obviously the broken ability that is their channel divinity. As an action, you present your holy symbol and a sphere of twilight emanates from you. The sphere centered on you has a 30-foot radius and is filled with dim light. It moves with you and lasts for 1 minute. And whenever a creature ends its turn in the sphere, you can grant the creature one of the following benefits. You can either give temp HP equal to 1d6 plus your cleric level. So again, that at least kind of caps out with a multi-class compared to when you're adding 20 plus whatever every single turn to every person who ends their turn there. You can also end one effect causing it to be charmed or frightened. So that's not made so much better by having high movement. I mean, you might be able to position yourself a little bit better to have other people end their turn near you, but the 30-foot radius is what makes that amazing in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And the cleric level has always been the problem. Like 1d6 temp HP is bad. That's too much for every round and every member of the party. But say you hit level 8 and suddenly the HP you are giving out is 8 times your party size plus a d6. So it's just out of control. So nerfing that is not the worst.
Right. And it's not even nerfing. It's just not indulging in it. it's seeing that the possibility is there and being like, no, I'm going to take some levels in monk. I'm going to hold myself back. I'm going to be good.
You're going to demonstrate that asceticism. 1d6
plus 3. Yes.
I will not indulge in the twilight.
Oh, that is actually funny from like a meta perspective too. If like that is their reasoning, it's like I don't want to go too far into the twilight. I've seen what happens to people, and I need to hold on to my sense of self, and that's where holding on to the light comes. But I need to hold on to some of the dark as well, and it's finding that balance that allows me to truly grow in the space between. And by that I mean, no, I'm not taking more levels in Twilight Cleric. So it's. An interesting way to handle the Twilight Cleric that I generally will just shoot down immediately. Oh, and you get dark vision out to 300 feet, I guess.
That you can share with people.
Yes.
And advantage on initiative rolls.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Give to people, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That too. Which?
And then at 6, you get a fly speed, and if you're in dim light.
No, you can't get up to 6. It's banned. You can't get higher than 3rd level if you're doing Twilight Domain.
Actually, that's the least, I think, egregious part of it. At 6 level, fly speed for 1 minute. If you start in dim light or darkness, it's like, all right, at 6, the fly speed's not that insane.
No, it's not.
It's really just the temp HP. It's just a lot. You'd have to build every encounter on it. We talked about this to death in that episode.
Oh, yeah, so that's right. Well,
yeah. Link it up. It's our most popular episode, so.
So far.
Yeah.
This could be the next one.
Probably not. These random reduxes we do to indulge your curiosities about what we plan to do at our table or what someone at our table does usually doesn't seem to grab a lot of attention.
I think the cleric ranger, okay.
I can't remember.
And if so far, if you have any thoughts or things that we've missed as well on the cleric Monk, please feel free to leave a comment. Let us know. Let us know if you've run it in the past. I know that our player is going to be a drunken monk plus Tempest domain cleric.
Tempest. Okay. Yeah,
which I definitely... We'll talk about, but I don't really see any like specific overlap here.
I assumed he was gonna do light because there's all the been that Rodolin connection, and like that could be okay because there's all the fire stuff and warding flare is kind of neat.
I think this is going to be the. I didn't want to just shoot it down right away. I thought light made a little bit more sense too. He's going with a god of fire as his domain, really. So light makes a lot of sense. What? I guess warding flare is the big thing that they get. So at first level, you can interpose divine light between yourself and an attacking enemy. When you are attacked by a creature within 30 feet of you that you can see, 30 feet is pretty good. You can use a reaction to impose disadvantage on the attack roll, causing light to flare before the attacker hits or misses. An attacker that can't be blinded is immune to this feature. You can use it number of times equal to your wisdom modifier, regain them on a long rest. So that's pretty good. Gives a way to get out of getting hit more often, which is always nice.
And he uses your reaction.
Right, which...
It's not like a bonus action, yeah.
Yeah, which monks kind of use, not all the time. I haven't seen this particular monk use their reaction too often. But
they also get fairy fire at first level.
Which is also pretty darn good.
Yeah.
So Tempest Domain... Their channel divinity is when you roll lightning or thunder damage, you can use your channel divinity to deal maximum damage instead of rolling. As well as at first level, they get their rebuke, their wrath of the storm. When a creature within 5 feet of you that you can see hits you with an attack, you can use reaction to cause the creature to make a dexterity saving throw. The creature takes 2d8 lightning or thunder damage on a failed saving throw or half as much on a successful one.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's pretty good too.
Use and it I up did, to your wisdom modifier.
And I did tell him that, you know, if you want to just do fire damage for Wrath of the Storm, that's fine. It doesn't really matter to me.
Yeah. You know, okay, that's pretty solid for Monk because you are going to be up and probably getting hit. Decent amount. Well, now since you gave Step of the Wind for free and not cost a key point, he does bonus action and run away a lot and not get hit a ton anymore.
So, yeah, that's one thing I would like to bring up is that a lot of the things we were talking about, the synergies, were concentration spells that benefited from hitting as many times as possible. And then that only partially combines well with the idea that a monk can get away easily. And there's a resource cost to that.
That's fair.
So you have to, the balance, it's very, very tempered. And I would advise almost anyone do what we did at the table. I've never felt it wasn't working. That free disengage.
Free disengage and free dash. Either one. Just the step of the wind is free. And I have not felt anything negative about it. It just feels like it was intended to be this way.
He survives a lot more now.
I think patient defense too. Yeah, so it's patient defense and step of the wind. Both of those are key point free.
Yeah.
And the reason that works is because the rogue has nothing to do with the bonus action and gets it for free, and that's not too broken. The monk, there is a tax. It's worse than a rogue doing this because they have a thing that they could be doing that they're not doing.
Yeah, and I've had people argue with me about like the dodge being free.
Yeah.
It's not that good. I mean, it's good, don't get me wrong. Disadvantage is strong, but like that makes it feel like the monks have a thing. Right now, it feels like they just don't, besides being able to punch two additional times, and that's not as interesting as it sounds. So giving them dodge for free is just like, oh, I don't know, maybe hiding as a bonus action where now nobody targets you, plus you have disadvantage on attacks against them because you're hidden. Like, that's already there. That's what the rogues get. This is just doing it in your face instead of having to get behind cover.
Right.
So, yeah, I will see. I'll mention the light domain. I think it really just depends on what he's thinking. But my plan was to just make Tempest Domain a little bit more fire-themed because who cares?
Yeah,
it's my game.
Light Domain also gets a bunch of cool AoE spells and fire spells.
Yeah, it depends on what he wants there. But I think and I mentioned this to him, and I still stand by it. I think he's kind of doing this the best way possible, which is he's 8 levels into monk right now and is now going into a couple levels of cleric where mm-hmm. it's like, all right, you're pretty established as a monk. You're getting some stuff upcoming as a monk. I'm really sad that he's not getting the 9th level ability, which lets him run on walls and stuff, because that's just like, it should be earlier, but that's besides the point. But now, you know, he's starting to be able to cast a spell or two. And we saw that even helpful in the most recent engagements where you all wouldn't have time for a short rest, but he didn't want to get up directly in the fray and take damage because he needed to kind of save that for the later fights. So he was able to stay back and cast Sacred Flame and just do some pinging damage in the back. And now it's just going to be made a little bit better by being able to buff you all, being able to heal when somebody goes down, which you all have a lot of little healing now. I think there's 4 people who have healing word in the party.
Yeah.
But that's going to be necessary without Revivify being around for a while.
Right.
If we ever get it. I don't know how many levels in cleric you plan on taking.
Don't know.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. How do you get Sacred Flame? That was a feat, right?
Yeah, that was a feat. Okay. At 8th level, he took the something touched. I don't remember what it was called. Now you're going to make me look it up, though. Okay, at 8th level, yeah, he took the Divinely Favored feat. So you learn 1 cantrip of your choice. You get to, I think, increase 1 of your abilities by 1 as well. But either way, he got a cantrip, a 1st level, and a 2nd level spell. So he took Sacred Flame, Goodberry, and then Audrey.
Right.
Which now feels unnecessary compared to a full level in cleric, but that is not my problem. It frees up
some of the choices.
Yeah.
Like, I picked Magic Initiate as a feat at 1st level because we did optional. Like, everyone gets a free feat. And pick cleric spells because that character already had a very religious kind of tie to the gods thing. And now I go into level 9, multiclass, and in the cleric, this is as a ranger. And so it's like, it does feel a little unnecessary. I almost considered asking you if I could swap that feat out. Mm. I was like, nah, I mean, it's just frees up other spell picks. There's a lot of really good picks for clerics. And I was like, I already have some of the stuff. Like, I already have Bless and Guidance. And now I could pick some other stuff.
Yeah, and you can only prepare so many when you are multi-classing in. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think that makes sense to hold on to. And speaking of freeing up choices, you can always free up your choice of dice by heading over to FanRoll and using the code MM10 to receive 10% off your order.
Do people struggle with not having a free choice in dice?
You have no choice. There's barely any dice out there, I know, but FanRoll has opened up the market. And they are the only dice creators that anybody should trust. Fact.
Yeah. Use the code MM10 for 10% off. That is. I said that fast, and I have a tendency to mumble sometimes. That's MM10.
2 M's.
Yeah.
1 10. I mean, like a single 10.
Like just a 1 and a 0. No spaces. No quotes.
Use it. Get some off your order. It's fantastic. I need to buy some more, actually. I need a birthday gift for my niece. And there's no better way to give a gift than to also support your own show. I'm a great uncle. You can have any dice you want from this website, and that's it. Thank you, as always, to our patrons. Ed G, Cameron C, Brian H, Craig A, Isaac M, Luca L, Jeff W, Star Shinobi, Vincent M, Muddleweight, Bob F, Joe P, Rick D, Central D20, Tyler S, Gray, Barons, Adam A, and Rob K. You all are fantastic, and if you want to join the Patreon, you can head on over to monstersmulticlass.com/support, where you can find that, as well as our other affiliates. And by joining our Patreon, you can usually get access to episodes a little bit early, as well as, show notes and such. So that's it. I didn't check to see if there's any last thoughts on the Cleric Monk, but I felt like we were at a good stopping point, so...
No, it's done.
No,
this would be kind of a weird place to put him, as most people. Like, we have the analytics info. Once the sponsor comes on, boom, the graph falls. So
because everyone's just leaving, they're like, I gotta go to FanRoll right now. I can't just I can't listen to these nerds talk anymore. I just need to buy some dice.
Anyways, all right. Thanks for watching.